how evangelism works in Christ's kingdom. Every born-again believer, make no mistake, desires to see others brought into the kingdom of Christ. In fact, one pastor once correctly stated that if you don't desire to see other people, lost souls, saved into the kingdom of Christ, be sure that you yourself are not in the kingdom of Christ. Isaiah 55:11 assures us that God's word always accomplishes that which he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I or God sent it. And he sends that word, his word, into the people through his laborers. Jesus said that the Lord of the harvest, Matthew 9, desires to send forth laborers into his harvest, and that we, his saints, are to pray for this exact thing. Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And what do those laborers do? Well, what they do is they plant the seed of the word of God, which never returns back to the Lord void, but it always accomplishes that which he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isaiah 55:11. Let me read the whole verse here, our key verse in this message. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Isaiah 55:11. Now, of this glorious biblical truth, this Bible verse in Isaiah 55:11, one writer notes that the word of God, like rain and snow that water the earth and cause it to produce fruit, will be sown in the hearts of men and produce fruit in the moral world. As the rain and snow fall on various kinds of ground, so does the word of God. Like rain and snow, it will accomplish its best good in the eternal reign, that is, ultimately, in the eternal reign of the Messiah, when the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Thus, the final fulfillment of this scripture will be in the future. There is only a partial fulfillment at present in the preaching of the gospel, unquote. Another writer, the Believer's Bible Commentary, notes the following about this verse. "God's word," he says, "is just as irresistible and effective as the rain and snow. All the armies in the world cannot stop them, and they accomplish their intended purpose. God's word never fails to achieve its aims," unquote. Remember, saints, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, it says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, the Apostle Paul said the following in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 9, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Now, I want you to remember that statement. That's 1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul says, "I have planted." He planted the word of God. Apollos came back behind him and watered that word, but God gave the increase. You see, when Paul was ministering, namely to the Corinthians, he put forth the word of God. Apollos watered the word of God, and God himself gave the increase. One of the things we have to see here in this verse is that it's God and only God who can save the soul, who can bring the increase of salvation. As we, like Paul, plant, and like Apollos, we water that seed. We come behind those who have previously ministered to and are praying for the people we are ministering to at hand. Presently, that is. Think about how you probably didn't get saved the first time you heard the Word of God. Somebody had to plant that seed, or you heard the Scripture, or somebody ministered to you, and then later on somebody else came and ministered to you and perhaps offered you the opportunity to repent and receive Christ. And when you got saved, when Jesus saved you, it was God who gave the increase of salvation. So in large part, saints, let us remember that we are seed sowers. We are sowing the seed of the Word of God. And we do that with the knowledge that it is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It cannot be diminished in any way. It's eternal. It liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. Also, we know, as we read in Isaiah 55:11, that the Word of God will never, shall not return unto me void. But it will do what? It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we should prayerfully, walking in the wisdom of God, the Word of God, understand that if we can get the words of God into the hearts of the people, God is going to do the rest. And we are reminded of the words of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And so we read here in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is alive, it's quick, and it's powerful. It's sharper, not as sharp, but sharper than any two-edged sword. Are you getting the picture? And it pierces all the way down into the soul and spirit, all the way down into the very core of your being, the innermost core of who you are, all the way to the joints and the marrow of the bone. Also, we're reminded of Jeremiah 23:28-29, where the prophet Jeremiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes the following: "He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully." Is the Word of God in you, my friend? When the Word of God gets in you, it's because you're getting into it daily. And like Jeremiah said in chapter 20 of Jeremiah, it's going to be like a fire shut up in your bones. God works from the inside out. So he says here, "He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully." What is the chaff to the wheat? Like wheat, God's word is full of nutrition, which is the spiritual food that he has designed and given to all of mankind. Jesus said, "Man shall not live or have life by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Luke chapter 4, verse 4. So he says, how can the chaff, the words of mere men, etc., compare to the wheat of God's word, which is full of nutrition from heaven? And so God's word is like wheat as opposed to the flimsy, weak words of men. "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer," like a sledgehammer, "that breaketh the rock in pieces." So when the Word of God is whispered, when it's spoken in any tone, it's going to break the rock of unbelief. It's going to break to pieces, or in pieces, shatter the rock of unbelief. And faith is going to be born in the hearts of those that you sow the incorruptible seed of the Word of God into, my friends, in Christ. You know, you and I can't save ourselves, much less somebody else, right? Right. But we can put the word, and that's what God's called us to do, to get the word into the hearts of the people. And that's why we like to use the Jesus track. It is a microcosmic, an abbreviated version of the plan of salvation in Christ. And through the Scriptures, it speaks of where mankind, fallen mankind, is. And that would be separated from the Lord by sin. Mankind is separated from God who is holy, Romans 3. And yet we have a great Savior, Jesus Christ, who 2,000 years ago came and paid the full price for the sins of mankind to take them away so that they could have a relationship with God who is holy, holy, holy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus himself said, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9, verse 56. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus said in verse 10 that the Son of Man has come to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost, the souls of man. What was lost was what? At the fall, what was lost is the relationship between God and man. And that's why Jesus came, that he might bridge the gap, the chasm that was caused by sin, as only he alone qualified to do. Because the wages of sin is death. God told the Israelites in their backslidden condition that it was the sin that they were in that separated them from him. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So people are born again by the word of God, the incorruptible seed as it's planted in the hearts of men, the seed of the word of God, which means the word must be sown in the hearts of men in order to begin to germinate and to bring forth God's desired result, which would be salvation. So Paul said, I have planted, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 through 9, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Why don't we say that out loud right there, those last four words, God gave the increase. One more time, let's say it together out loud. God gave the increase. It's God that gives the increase. And so sometimes perhaps we have this false obligation whereby we think that we have to go save someone. Not at all. God's word, as we put it into the hearts of men in the love and wisdom of God, begins to germinate. The Holy Spirit begins to convict them. God does that work of bringing them to him. That doesn't mean we don't pray and desire and labor to see souls come into the kingdom of Christ, but we always remember that it has to be God doing it as we labor by his grace and truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. So then, in verse 7, he says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but, here it is, God that giveth the increase. So, though he has called us to plant the seed, it is God himself who brings the increase of eternal life into the hearts of those he saves. Verse 8, 1 Corinthians 3, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. We're working on the same team, if you will, team Jesus, as we sow the word of God into the hearts of men, as Jesus commanded, for us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Those who labor in the Lord, who sow the seed of the word of God, who plant that seed and who water that seed, are going to be eternally rewarded. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Notice, we are laborers together with God. Those who sow, those who plant the word of God, and those who come back around and water the word of God. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3. So faithfully sowing the seed of the word of God into the hearts of men assures that God will be glorified in saving each of those souls who receive and believe his truth in repentance and faith. What a blessing. Here's how evangelism works, saints, in the kingdom of Christ. Perhaps we could say that there are layers of gospel laborers. Maybe there's a better way of saying that, but you'll see what I mean as we read this. And notice, usually we are the second or the third person ministering, or fifth or tenth or whatever, to the people we minister to. Now, here in Mexico, it's like these people have never really heard the gospel. They are wide open. And when you see their expression, their response, when you put that Jesus track out there into their hands and you begin to speak the gospel and how Jesus Christ reigns forever and that he's calling them to repent, I tell them in Spanish, and receive him today. And I like to tell them, hell is forever. Please don't go there. Repent and receive Jesus Christ today. You've never seen anybody that's ministered to the Latino community. What a blessed community. Knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I personally will never cease to be amazed and blessed to see them as they listen to the word of God and how Jesus came to die for them on the cross. He was buried and raised again from the dead for their justification. So we do have a page on safeguardyoursoul.com called something like Ministering the Gospel in Spanish. Just put in the word Spanish into the search box and it should come right up. So notice, we're usually not the first person to minister to somebody. At least they've heard something of the gospel. And we're following up on that seed planted in the hearts of the people we minister to. Now, some people might say, well, wait a minute, isn't Latin America Catholic? Well, this is what I've learned, and I grew up Catholic, and I'm born again now, so I'm not Catholic or any religion, of course. Jesus Christ is Lord and Him alone. It looks like to me, from what I can gather, is that the Catholic Church did nothing but give them a hunger to really know the Jesus of the Bible. Their response, regardless of the reason for it, is amazing. So let's gain this vision concerning the laborers of Christ. Sometimes we're the first, second, fifth, tenth, or whatever, to minister to someone. And this illustration from Christ concerning our work for him in his kingdom is quite enlightening. Notice John 4, 34 through 38, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And then he says to us, his disciples, say not ye, do not say, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. They're ready to harvest. Now let me say this. Anyone who's putting off evangelism is disobeying Jesus. And usually it's due to the fact that they are not surrendered to Christ. They have not freshly repented, and they're still about their own business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And everyone listening to me right now, including myself, are about in their life, are about the Father's business or their own business. And that should be something that should convict us. We must be about our Father's business of the Great Commission that he gave us. Luke 2:49, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are our Lord's ministers of reconciliation as we sow the seed of the gospel, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer. He came to die and fully pay for our sins, for our salvation, so that we can be saved in him. And we're here to tell other people about him. That's why we're here. We're not here because, as most American quote-unquote Christians say, I like nice things. In other words, they're all about their little trinkets. They just want to have some little form of godliness by going to church on Sunday, right? But how many people, as Brother Mark and I fellowshiped this morning, we were posing the question, how many people do you know personally that are churchgoers faithfully and yet also evangelizing on a daily basis? And I don't care if there's 100 people or 1,000 people listening to this message right now. We all know that we can count them, people that go to church and also evangelize, on one hand, probably one finger, if even one finger. So that is what the modern church has produced. And we know people and organizations by their fruit, Matthew 7, etc. And that's bad fruit. And perhaps God is calling someone listening to come out from among them and be ye separate. I mean, do you, my friend, know anybody that's a pastor who is actually preaching the pure word of God, 2 Timothy 4:2, and also verse 5, doing the work of an evangelist? No. Most of us know or have never met someone like that. But that's the model, that's the track to run on that we have in the word of God. And yet it seems to be so very rare to find a man or any Christian who is actually evangelizing. People claiming to be Christians and they can't even put a gospel track on a gas pump or in a public bathroom or put several per day into the hands of lost sinners. Wow. Oh, how apostate we are if that be the case. God forbid. And may God grant repentance to any and everyone listening to me that is hearing this message. Jesus commanded you to go into all the world. He didn't say go invite people to church. He said you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Now, as we come in for a landing here, picture planting a seed in a garden, then standing back and watching the ground you just planted the seed in and expecting it to sprout up visibly as you stand there looking at that soil beneath which is the seed you just planted. That wouldn't be very wise, would it? No, it wouldn't. Notice I set up this next passage with that question because we see the picture our Lord gives us here is that of planting the seed of the Word of God in the hearts of men. So as you plant agriculturally, say in your backyard, or you have pottery of some type and you're planting some kind of seed, maybe a tomato plant or carrots or whatever else it might be to bring forth a crop, right? What do? Well, you plant a seed and then you water it and move on. So notice Mark 4:26, and he said, and this is the only place in the Gospels that this particular parable is found. And he said, Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. See, we got to take God at his word when we understand he told us to plant the seed of the gospel, right? Psalm chapter 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the word of God is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 19, 7, the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And that's what we are to do. We are to sow the seed of the word of God, which is specifically called the law and the testimony. That's the written word of God right here in Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. Mark 4:27. But we know not how it begins to germinate in the hearts of men, but God does. And he told us that his word never returns back to him void, but it always accomplishes that which he pleases. And he said, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So we should have faith in what he said. Just like when we plant a seed to get a crop agriculturally, we don't know how that seed begins to germinate and begin to bud and to bring forth a plant or a tree that later bears fruit, right? No, we don't know, and we never will, as one of the commentators is going to tell us in just a moment. Notice verse 28, Mark 4, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And this is Mark 4:26-29. One writer says, and should sleep and rise night and day. He speaks of that phrase in this passage in Mark 4. And he says, that is, he should sleep by night and rise by day. For so the words are obviously to be understood. He knoweth not how. How a plant, he doesn't know. We don't know how a plant grows. It's a mystery in nature, which the wisest philosophers in the universe cannot fully explain. Unquote, Adam Clark. So in ministry, saints, as God has called each and every one of us to minister, we must rely on the Holy Spirit and know that He sent us forth to preach and declare the gospel that Jesus gave us and the apostles, the original gospel. And we see in seed planting that it's God, not us, who brings forth the increase. We plant the seed, God brings the increase. This pertains to the invisible work of God in the hearts of men. The Believer's Bible Commentary notes the following. The parable may be intended to encourage the disciples. Their responsibility is to sow the seed. They may sleep night and day, knowing that God's word will never return to him void, but will accomplish what he has intended it to do by a mysterious and miraculous process quite apart from man's strength and skill. The word of God works in human hearts, producing fruit for God, for his glory. Man plants and waters, but God gives the increase. Now, friends, before we pray, may each of our hearts be reminded that Jesus said that he has called and ordained, and that would include his equipping, each of his children, that we should do what? That we should be blessed to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 15, verse 16. Now, Heavenly Father, we do ask you right now, Lord, to put your hand upon us. Let us be humbled under the mighty hand of God right now and blessed to be broken and contrite and humble in heart, as only you can ultimately bring to pass. We rely on you, Lord, and ask you to do that work in us. Convict us, Lord. Grant us repentance to return to you as our first love, and fill us with your Spirit, O God. Baptize those who aren't already in the Holy Ghost, Lord. Empower us to do your word and to do your will, and to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost like the early church. Use us, God, to sow the seed of your word so that you will bring forth the fruit of salvation in the lives of many. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.